Good afternoon. Thank you so much for being with us today to learn about Bitachon. Today is Vav Shvat, Tafshin Pei Dalad, January 16th, 2024. There's a request that this be for Refuah Shelema for Chaya Gittel Bastova Hinda, and also a Refuah Shelema for Chaim Chuna Ben Rivka Racholina. Now, we were discussing last time in the Orchos Tzadikim, in the Shara Simcha regarding Bitachon, how there are time periods for all life experiences. And we're going to delve into that soon, but it reminded me of a very important piece on Parshas Devarim, where Moshe Rabbeinu said to Bnei Yisrael, "Bateirognu ba'ahalecha." So we're going to start talking about positivity today, because the Chumash, the Torah, is here for us to learn, hopefully most of the time or a lot of the time, to learn how we should act, but also to learn how not to act. And that's what the Torah is all about. So in Parshas Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu recounts the Maisa HaMaraglim, when we sent those spies and we listened and went ahead and processed all of the information in a negative way. Not everybody did. We know that the part of Klal Yisrael did not sin totally with the Meraglim. The women went into Eretz Yisrael at the end, and the Levium went in. But the point is that there was negativity that was predominant at that moment, and many times in the Dor HaMidbar. So the people who complained, the men between 20 and 60, or who were between 20 and 60 at the Cheder Egel and the Meraglim, were really not worthy. They weren't capable of going into Eretz Yisrael, and they ended up not going in. But Moshe Rabbeinu said an unusual term when he spoke to them, and he tells the second generation in the Midbar, in Parshas Devarim, he recounts what he had stated to the first generation. And some of the people he's speaking to were children at that time. They were younger, and now they're more grown up because it's the 40th year. And he says, "Bateirognu bi'ahalechem." Very super unusual verb that he uses, nargonus. The shoresh seems to be resh gimel nun, vateirognu. Where else do you see such a word? It's very, very rare. And the rush, Rabbeinu Asher, who's in the back of some of the Mikraos Gedolos versions, wonders, what is the meaning of this verb, vateirognu? It's more than complaining. It does mean you complained, you grumbled, but the rush explains, Koribe, you should read in it the following explanation, the word vateirognu. And it's a huge lesson for every person. Tar ganu. You see the word vateirognu? It's in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Zayin, in Sefer Devarim, Parshas Devarim. So what is tar ganu? Tar is like lasur esaret, to spy out and to seek out. Ganu is ganus. That's a degradation or negativity or disgrace. So what was the exact weak point in the Dor HaMidbar? That was tartem genus, is that you were looking for, you were seeking, you were trying to pinpoint what was negative, what was disgraceful. What you were doing was emphasizing, you were accentuating the negative. That is the root of the problem. That is the problem of the Dor HaMidbar. Other Mephoshim say it as well in different terminology. Tartem genus ha'aretz. You were looking for what was negative about Eretz Yisrael. Shakar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Evan Tova. Hashem had called it a precious gem. This word, nargonus, is so telling, so indicative about an attitude that we are told and advised in so many places that we're supposed to avoid, and therefore we're supposed to look toward the positive. Not to be vateirognu, tar genu, to seek out, to search out, and accentuate the negative. That's the opposite of what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to accentuate and seek out and extract the positive, because the positive is there. The positive is here. All we need to do is look and we'll see it. So where do we see this? Back in the Orchos Tzadikim. I wrote myself a note. As the Orchos Tzadikim had stated, based on the Chovos HaLevavos most of the time, he says that there is a time period, there's a limit to everything that we experience, including the challenging, difficult, chas v'shalom, painful times. Those are limited. They're finite because there's light at the end of the tunnel. The Yeshua comes. And the Orcha Tzaddikim told us we cannot delay what Hashem decreed should happen earlier, and we cannot bring earlier what Hashem decreed to delay. And I wrote myself a note. For example, there are two people in Tanakh we can think about who really suffer. Last week, we talked about Eov, and we know the Gemara Bava Basra has varying opinions about who he was and when he lived. And last time, we read you the Rambam and the Mora Nevuchim, who assert that the opinion that he was never an actual person, but he was a mashal, that opinion in the Gemara is the Rambam's quote-unquote favorite opinion, because there are so many diverse shittos, so many different views about who and when he was. It really makes a lot of sense to say that he actually wasn't a person. He's every person. As my Rosh Hashiva Rabbi Wein would always say, that shot in the Gemara, that opinion, is that really it's a mashal for every person's experiences. Because every person has ups and downs. Every person has situations that are out of control, out of the person's control, and sometimes out of control also. Hopefully not too many of those. And with those we have to deal, and we have to extract the good. We can't be vateirognu, targanu, to emphasize the negative, to focus on the negative. That's what the Dor HaMidbar did. They couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael because of it. What we're supposed to do is, we're supposed to do the opposite. So the two people I'm thinking of are Eov, for example. Now, how long did Eov suffer? Well, you know the Mishnah in Maseches Idos. The Mishnah says that Mishpat Eov was Yud Beis Chodesh. He suffered for 12 months. There's someone else in Tanakh who suffered. There are many other people who did, but one of them suffered for 22 years. And who is that? That's correct. That's Yaakov Avinu. So you might say, why am I bringing up Yaakov Avinu and Eov in the same sentence? It's not my doing. The Dasa Kenim, Ebali Tosfos does it. The Tosfos actually compares Yaakov Avinu to Eov. But you have to be a little patient. By the time we're finished today, Mir Tashem, I'm optimistic that we'll be at least close to that point, if not there. The Dasa Kenim is found in Parshas Mikates, Peres Mem Gimel, Pasik Yudalit. He compares Yaakov's suffering to Eov's suffering. And the reason I'm bringing it up now is because the Aruch HaTzaddikim said, there are set times for everything. So it's a matter of patience. So much of our success in life is due to patience. Just wait and ride the storm through and work through it and use it to grow as much as we can. And don't persevere despite the nisyonos. Rather, be successful and overcome and prevail because of the nisyonos. That's what we said last time. Use it as a nace, as a banner, as a flagpole to rise. So where do we find Yaakov being compared to Eov? Where are the psukim? And you're probably familiar, this bears repetition. I'm doing this whole thing for myself. I'm working on my midos. We look in Parshas Mikates, Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Yadalet. As you know already, Yaakov, you could say, was literally almost at the end of his rope, and he was already missing Yosef for 22 years. Now, I just want to clarify one point. Was he being punished? Okay, yes, you know, the Gemara Megillah, because he was away from his parents 22 years. So therefore, Yosef was away from him for 22 years without spending the next 45 minutes to explain what's really going on in that Gemara. Suffice it to say that there is a pshat that says that he was supposed to marry Leah and come home right away. Rabbeinu Bachaya says that pshat. And that's why, since he spent 22 years away from his parents, and we're talking about Yaakov now, so he could have come home sooner, so Yosef was away from him for 22 years. That shot drops people's jaws and raises eyebrows and ruffles a few feathers whenever people hear it. But according to that shot, he really was suffering for 22 years. It was a tzara that he had. But there's also another shot that he wasn't really suffering a punishment, it's just that he didn't have the benefit of Yosef being with him for 22 years, because when he was away from his parents, they didn't have the benefit of him being home. So it's kind of like just not having a benefit, but it's not really a punishment. Without getting into which shot we're going to favor, but, and that's only one of the tzaras he suffered. There were so many challenges and difficulties that Yaakov Avinu went through. So he says to his sons, and this is at the end, getting close to the end of the 22 years, of Yosef finally revealing his identity, and Yaakov's suffering is coming to an end, those 22 years, And he tells his sons, listen, you have to go, and I'm going to send a present with you. You got to go to this mysterious viceroy, who we know was really Yosef, Tzafnath Paneah, and I'm going to send a present. And V'keil Shakai, Yitein Lachem Rachamim Lifnei Ho'ich. So Yaakov says to his sons, May Hashem, who's called Keil Shakai, we'll talk about that, should give for you mercy in front of the man. Hashem should have compassion on you in front of this mysterious, strange character, this viceroy, who's kind of cruel, but he's like, seems to have some human sensitivity. We know that it was really his son, Yosef. B'shilach lochem, and may he send for you, es achichem acher, your other brother, Bes Binyamin, and also Binyamin. Because we know that when the brothers had first gone down to buy food, so Yosef had taken Shimon, and Shimon was there in Mitzrayim during this time. So Yaakov tells his sons, I hope that things take a turn for the better. So the question is, why does he call Hashem Keil Shakai? Why that name? So Rashi quotes the Medrash, and here's where it gets to the ending of Bitachon. Umidrasha, Rashi says the Medrash is, Mi sha'amar la'olam dai, the one who said to the world, it's enough. Hashem, who placed limits on the world's creation, he said the land ends here, the ocean ends here, etc. Yomar dai the tzorosai. He halavai that Hashem will say, it's enough for my hardships. I've had a hard time. Shelo shakatati min urai, because I haven't had a restfulness and tranquility from my youth. I've been suffering. Tzaras Lavan, my father-in-law Lavan, we know what he tried to do. He cheated me, tried to kill me. Tzaras Esav, Esav tried to kill me. Tzaras Rachel, Rachel died in childbirth. My most precious wife, Tzaras Dina, Dina was taken. Tzaras Yosef, now Yosef's gone for almost 22 years when this pasuk is happening. Tzaras Shimon. Shimon's been taken captive. He's like human collateral. He's being held as a security. So you all go back down there. Tzaras Binyamin. And now I have no choice but to send Binyamin also. Because without Binyamin, they were not allowed to see Yosef, the viceroy, Tzafnath Paneah. That's the stipulation he had made. So Yaakov was like, Keil Shakai, die. It's enough already. We're going to see that this expression that sometimes a person might say, it's enough already. I've had so much tsar, so many sufferings, so many travails. But we have to look at the positive too, as we're going to see. We're supposed to say, I've had so many salvations. I've been healed from so many illnesses. I've had so many months where I had my paycheck. That's how we're supposed to look at it, because it's all true. We're supposed to look at where I'm holding right now, as we're going to see very soon. So if you look in the Das Kanim on that pasuk, the Tosfos elaborate, Ma ro Yaakov levarcham b'keil shakai? Why did Yaakov bless his sons with that bracha, with that name of Hashem, Keil Shakai? You know, Keil is midos harachamim. Remember in Parshas Kisisa, Hashem, Hashem, Keil rachum v'chanun. So Keil has to do with compassion, with mercy. It's the almighty trait of Hashem that he's merciful. But Shakai, what's that about? Lelamedecha, to teach you. Shekama Yisurin bo al Yaakov. So many sufferings, hardships, pains came over Yaakov. By the way, another reason I'm doing this is because no person should take it personally. No person should feel, oh, I'm singled out. This happened to me. That happened to me. Nobody should feel that way. Look at Yaakov Avinu. That's, my Rosh Hashiva said, why we learn Chumash also. We see that everybody, these great people, they've suffered. So let's not take it personally. Say, oh, Hashem has something against me, Chas V'Shalom. No, look at Yaakov Avinu. Hashem loves Yaakov Avinu. He loves every one of us just the same. As the Das Kanim continues, Achehu B'me'imo, he takes it even earlier. Before he's born, he's already having tzaras. Imagine that. He's not even born. He's already having a hard time. What's the hard time he's having? You know, sometimes people complain. They have problems with parnasa. Remember the three pillars of complaining that we talked about? Well, we won't call them that. Let's call them the three types of things that could be challenging, but Hashem always helps us through. That has to do with parnasa. It has to do with health, emotional and physical, and it has to do with relationships, just like by Eov, the way that the Rambam classifies them. Well, this gentleman here, Yaakov Avinu, he's a fetus. He's an embryo. He's inside his mother, Rivka, and he's already having tzaras. Well, when I see this, I feel, oh, I've had it good then, Baruch Hashem, compared to that. He's still inside his mother. Esav asa merivah imo. There's already someone starting up with him. His brother is starting up with him. You talk about problems with relationships. They're not even born. The siblings are already fighting. Shenemar, as it says, we know the children were running back and forth, trying to get to different places. They were struggling. Those babies inside Rivka, they already were quarreling about the inheritance of both worlds. How deep-rooted is this machlokes? Yatzalachot, once he was born, Esav bk sohargo. Esav just continues from where we left off when they were inside the mother. Now he wanted to kill him. Shnei Marz, it says, Al-Radpo b'cherev achiv. It's an almost aleph yad aleph. He chased his brother with the sword. Barach mipanav. So what did Yaakov do? He fled from in front of him. Now why are we doing this? In case you joined us in progress. We're trying to show that the people in Chumash are prototypes for our lives. They have suffered a lot. But what are we supposed to take out of that? What's going to be the takeaway today? It's going to be how we process that, what we say about it, what we think about all this suffering. It's going to be the positive that we take out of it. But we're in the middle of reading about these summers that he had. Also, not to take it personally. He fled Leves Lavan. So now he fled from Esav. He went to Lavan's house. Wow, from one line then to another. Look at the hardship that he had there, all the different troubles he had. Oh, the weather, the elements. I was a devoted, dedicated worker. I was a shepherd, my father-in-law. You think he appreciated it? No, all he did was throw stuff back at me. Finally, he got out of the house of Lavan. I'm reading your Das Kenim Ibali Tosfos, Razav Acharav Lavan. So Lavan had to chase him yet. Nimlot Mimeno. Ah, Baruch Hashem, he was saved from Lavan. Esav the Hargo, there he comes back, the bro again. Esav's back again to kill him again. The Hifted call Osa Doro Shehevilo. You ever look at it that way? He sacrificed that whole entire present. We're not talking about a very small gift here. This is a huge amount of materials that he gave to Esav as that present. Livestock, all kinds of stuff. Nimlat Mimenu. Finally, he was saved from Esav. Bas Olaf Tsaras Dina. Then Tsaras with his children, with Dina was taken then. Achar came afterwards Tsaras Rachel. Then Rachel died in childbirth. Achar called Tsaras Halalu. After all this, Bikesh Leshev Bishalva. After all that is where Parshas Vayeshev begins. Vayeshev Yaakov Eretz Megorei Aviv Eretz Canaan. He wanted to finally try to live in tranquility. Do you think he had enough Tsaras yet? Bikesh Yaakov Leshev Bishalva. Shenemar Vayeshev Yaakov. He wanted to live in tranquility. It doesn't say Vayogar. It says Vayeshev Miyad right away. Ba'alav Tsaras Yosef. That is exactly when the unbelievable, indescribable Tsar of Yosef happened to him, when Yosef disappeared. Achar came Tsaras Shimon. And then Shimon gets taken. Achar came afterwards Tsaras Binyamin. Then Binyamin has to go, and he's worried about him. Because remember, Yaakov's wife, Rachel, had died on the trip, and Yosef ostensibly had died. He's gone, and that was also on a trip. And now in the same branch of the family, he has no choice but to send Binyamin. And I always like to say in school, there are some people who get car sick. This branch of the family seems to get car dead, because his wife, Rachel, had died on a trip, and it seems that Yosef did, and now the next child, the brother of Yosef, Binyamin, also has to go. This suffering is absolutely unimaginable that he's going through. The Chenu Omer, now you're waiting for this, comes along the Dasikainim and tells us that the expression of Eov is the expression of Yaakov Avinu, Zaktaisvais, Nechein Hu Omer, and so it says, Lo Shalavti, Velo Shakatati. I haven't had tranquility, I haven't had peace and quiet, Velo Nachti, I haven't rested, Vayovo Roges, aggravation has come, Tsaras have come, Eov Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chavav. In the middle of talking about Yaakov, the Das Kenim Bali Tosos, the Rishonim, make the correlation. They connect Eov, and they say this expression of Eov is echoing the feelings, the sentiments of Yaakov Avinu. The Tikkuch Amar Achshav, that's why Yaakov said now, Misha Amar La'olam Dai, the one who said to the world, the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's enough. He made limits, Kisha Bara'o, when he created it. Yomar L'Tzorosai Dai, let him say to my hardships, it's enough already. This is what people think sometimes. It's enough already. I suffered enough already, haven't I? And as we said last time, this is every person. But by the way, as we know, that one opinion in the Gemara Bava Basra, Tes Bava Man Aleph, that's where the sugi is about who was Eov and who wrote it. Lo Hoya V'lo Nivra. We already said this. He was not created. Ela Mashal Hu. Mashal Hoya. He was an analogy, an example, prototype for every person. But Rashi mentions, Lo Mod She'ein Adam Nitfas Al Tsaro. She'kol Adam Yesh Lo Tsaros. Rashi says a person who complains when he's suffering is not taken to task on that. When he is at Kael Shakai, we don't find any ramifications because it said Shakai, that it's enough already. He wasn't punished for that. He didn't suffer for that. But later, Hashem felt that he could do better. And this is the third source we have to look at. It's another Dasakanami Bali Tosfos. From the following source, we will learn, and this is the Tamsis. It's what we're supposed to get out of today's discussion, is that no matter how many challenges we have, how much suffering, how difficult it is, Hashem expects us to look at the positive side of it also and emphasize that side. Because look what happened. Later on, finally, in the last 17 years of his life, finally everything settled down. So we know that the great Yaakov Avinu, the prince of Hashem, went ahead and was introduced to Paro in Parshas Vayigash. So if you look in Parshas Vayigash, Paro says, and you're familiar with this, I'm sure, Kama Yemei Shnei Chayecha. Whoa, you seem to be very elderly. That's what it sounds like. How old are you, Paro said to Yaakov Avinu. Pshat. I'm reading you the Das Kanim. Here's the simple explanation. Because he saw Yaakov being very old. When he came, he lived the last 17 years of his life in Mitzrayim. When he came down, he was 130. Masaros Rosho was Okano, and the hairs of his head and his beard, Levanos, they were all white, Merov HaZikna, from how old he was. Shaokain, that's why he asked this question. And what did Yaakov answer him? Yemei Shnei Megurai, the days of the years of my dwelling in this world. Shloshim Ma'at Shana. There are 130 ma'at v'ra'im. They're not very many, but they're unpleasant. What happened? First of all, ma'at, 130 is ma'at? Yes. As we know, yeah, his father lived 180. So it's not that many compared to that. Kolomar, says the Das Kanim, ma'atim hem shenosai. My years aren't that many. Ela mitoch ra'os shahayili. But because of the terrible experiences that I had, Kotsa alai zikna. Old age has jumped upon me. I look much older than I really am. Medrash, says the Das Kanim. Bishasha Amar Yaakov, at the time that Yaakov said, Ma'at v'royim hoyu, that my days were not very many, but they were unpleasant, they were evil, they were bad. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to him, what do you mean they were so bad? You're complaining? He's saying life is bad. Your life is not a good life. It was difficult. I know you were just trying to explain to Paro why you looked that way. But you just said that your years were ma'at b'ra'im. We're going to learn from this that no person is supposed to say, my life has been bad. My life has been terrible. My life has been difficult. That's not what Hashem wants to hear from us. Now, if a person is going for counseling, or if a person has a friend needs to vent to or to explain things, and that's for that purpose, we understand that. But if this is the attitude, or the way the person describes his or her life, Hashem would prefer, Kaviyocha, that we don't describe life that way. Ani melatiticha. I circled those words. You know all those tzaros you had? Terrible, long list of tzaros. You know all those things you went through? But I saved you from all of them. There's two ways to look at it. You could say, I suffered. I could say, it hurt. It was difficult. I could emphasize and accentuate that, or I could say, Hashem saved me from the ordeal. He saved me from the illness, multiple illnesses. He saved me from the suffering. He saved me from poverty. Ani melatiticha, I saved you. Yaakov, what do you mean it was a bad life? Ani melatiticha, I delivered you. I saved you. I freed you. I emancipated you from suffering. May Esav. You complained about Esav? I saved you from Esav. Umi Laban. I saved you from Laban. Echzarti zecha Dina. I got Dina back for you. Kam Yosef. Yosef is back. You have a reunion. Yatom Yisraim al chayecha, and you're complaining about your life? Shehei ma'at b'ra'im. You're complaining about life that it's not very long and it's been unpleasant? That's what you say? So the Rebbeinu Shlom tells us we're really supposed to accentuate the positive. It's the salvation we're supposed to focus on and zero in on and look at. Chayecha. So Yaakov is held to a very high standard. Not every person would be held to such a high standard, but it's a lesson for everybody. I swear on your life. Sheminyan hatevos, that the number of words, sheyesh, that are, bain, mean, that start from, fayomer, then Paro asked you how old you are, ad bimei migurai, until the end of the pasuk, or bimei migurayhem, until that pasuk. In other words, the words in the pasuk from when Paro asked you how old you are, until you answered and said that you're not that old and you had a hard life, kach yechzeru mishnosecha. Those years will be missing from your years. You lost some of your life because of that. Shelo tichya kechaya Yitzchak avicha. You will not live as long as your father Yitzchak. The Hemlama Gimel Tevos, there are 33 words. 180 minus 33 will end up as 147. Uveminyan zeh nechzeru mechayov. And this is the number that we're missing from his life. Shere Yitzchak chai kuf peishana. Yitzchak lived 180. The Yaakov lochai el kuf mem zayin. Yaakov only lived to 147. So what do I take out of this? True, we're not held like the way tzaddikim. Not every person is the tzaddik like that. That Hashem is makpid and kichut hasayra, that he would chas v'shalom take years away from a person's life. But it's the attitude that we're supposed to learn from this, as we started out today. Like the Dor HaMidbar, when it says Vateira Gnu, is Tar Gnu, that instead of looking for and accentuating and talking about and emphasizing the negative and the ordeals that we've gone through, oh, it's been difficult. Oh, it's been quite an experience. It was so hard. It was oppressive. All those words that we use. What do we learn from Chumash? What we're supposed to look at is the Ribbono Shel Olam saved me, protected me through everything. He has healed me. He's given me parnasa. I have so much. And that's what we're supposed to emphasize and accentuate. And when we continue looking at the Arche Tzaddikim, we'll see that all experiences have a limit. And Eov, as we said, was 12 months. The Dasta Kenim compared Yaakov to him. Yaakov had so many hardships. But the Ribbono Shel Olam loves us and cares about us and saves us from all this. If I'm here able to talk about this, Baruch Hashem, Pleyayin Hora, this is Vod number 81, and we should, Halavai Vayter, will continue. The fact that I'm here, I'm able to think and learn and function, that itself is enough of a reason to thank Hashem with such simcha, such emunah, such bitacha. So Mirat Hashem will continue next week to discuss the fifth thought that a person is supposed to have in order to reach the levels of bitachon that we're supposed to, about the fact that Hashem knows what we're thinking, and we're transparent, and Hashem has kaviyachol, divine x-ray vision. He knows our thoughts, which is also so comforting, because Hashem knows everything about us. He knows what we're capable of, and He only gives us what we're capable of, and all experiences that come our way, we can grow from them, and all of them are opportunities. Hashem should help us to see that. And Emir Tashem will join next week again. Thank you for being here to learn today.